All right, good morning. All right, are we ready? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this Lord's Day. And thank you again for the great privilege we have to gather together as followers of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing, God, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. We understand that without you, we can do nothing. And so we cast our cares on you, and we trust you, because we know, God, you are able to work everything out for the good. And Father, we lift up these requests that have been mentioned. We want to pray, God, that you'll bless Angie's interview this week. We pray, Father, that your will be done. And we pray that you will put her in the position, God, that is best for her. And as your word says, Lord, I just pray you will direct her path. Father, we want to pray for Joyce's family. Father, we pray that you will comfort them in their grief and in their sorrow. And Father, we want to pray for Ronnie that you will provide for him. Please, Lord, give him the things that he needs, a place to stay, a place with good care, a place that is able to meet his needs, God. Please bless him and please bless that family. Father, we want to lift up a prayer for John and Logan. We ask, Father, that you would meet their most pressing needs, touch their hearts and their minds, and draw them to yourself. Father, we want to pray for Jim. We pray, Father, that your hand will be on him and you will heal his body and bless his health. And beyond that, Father, we pray that you would bring him to Christ so that his soul can be healed. And we pray that you'll give Larry the opportunity to share the good news with him. We pray, Father, you bless Larry. And God, we know that you know the things that are weighing on his heart. And we pray that you will move on his behalf to take care of those things. And Father, we pray you'll bless Bonnie as she travels. And we pray you'll keep her safe and healthy and bless her time with her daughter. And Father, we thank you again. Thank you for hearing us when we call. And thank you for answering and even doing more than we could ask or think. Father, we love you so much. And now I pray you'll bless this time as we study your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. The book of Proverbs. We are breaking into chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. All right. The Bible says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.' Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you." Okay. Solomon is the author. So we enter this new section of Proverbs, and he seems to start each new section by addressing his children, my son, my daughter, my children. He's expressed that thought many times, and he's expressed several of these thoughts many times, and I feel this danger of like being repetitive. Don't want to be repetitive, but I definitely don't want to just skip through, because if he wrote it over and over and over again, maybe we need to hear it over and over and over again.
I think so.
So we're going to go through the first 9 verses, and it kind of breaks down like this. So verses 1 through 4, we're going to talk about passing on wisdom is the first 4 verses. Verses 5 through 7 is the priority of wisdom. And then verses 8 and 9 is the prize of wisdom. So passing on wisdom in verses 1 through 4. You have 3 generations mentioned here. Solomon says, in verse 3, when I was my father's son. What does that sound like? When he was little. And what's the saying? People say it all the time.
What my father did.
You are your father's child.
No. When I was your age. When I was your age. Did you know that was biblical? That's what Solomon was saying. That saying's been around a long time. When I was my father's son. So there's three generations mentioned here. He's talking about what his father taught him, and then he's teaching his children. Three generations mentioned here. And he calls us children, addressing us. And I hope you guys understand that's a term of endearment. In fact, Jesus taught that when we come to Christ, we're supposed to come to him as little children. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be childlike? To be childlike is all the good qualities of a child. Okay? To be childish is all the bad qualities of a child. That's the difference. So when you come to Christ and he says you're to come as a little child, in Matthew 18, in his example, he says, humble yourself as a little child. So there's these qualities of a child that are good qualities that we can learn from. And number one being humility. And a simple example is with Mark, when he doesn't understand something, he's able to say, he doesn't understand, and he'll ask. What do kids do more than anything? They ask questions.
Who, what, why, when, how?
Yeah. Why?
Are we there yet?
That's childish. But the why question is not bad, because they're humble enough to acknowledge they don't know and they want to know. That's a good quality of being a child. Humility. Another good quality of being a child is being trusting. And this is why wicked people take advantage of that in children, because they're so trusting. And when we come to Christ, we're to trust him. We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. I know that when I'm talking to Mark, I could tell him anything, and he would believe me. And that weighs on me, because I want him to know what's true. Never, 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 never lie to your kids. We never, ever told our kids that Santa Claus was coming. Never, never, never. Not to make anybody feel bad. But here's the thing. I just had it in my heart from the beginning, right? We talked about it. I never want to lie to them. And then he would never have a moment where he realized, hey, that's not true. I want him to know that I told him the truth all the way from the beginning. He trusts me. To be childlike is to be trusted. Another good quality of a child is that they are forgiving. To be childlike is to be forgiving. It's amazing what young people can endure and do endure, and they'll turn around and they'll show love back to the person who hurt them. And again, you see, you know, these are the good qualities of a child. Wicked people take advantage of that, but these are things that are to be cherished, and these are things to be emulated by children of God. This is how we're to be.
What does emulated mean?
Copy. I stopped myself because I thought, wow, that was a big word.
Yeah. No,
I just thought for a second, like, wow, where did that come from?
It's kind of interesting that as I get older and more adult, they're not as forgiving.
Or trusting.
Yeah.
Or humble. Well, that's when they need to come to Christ as a child. See, that's why we understand that children, if a child dies young, they go to heaven, right? Because they haven't come to the knowledge of good and evil. But every child, when they come to that age, their flesh takes over and they will sin. They will sin. And then they need to repent and come to Christ to be saved. Every child comes to that place where they have to accept Christ themselves. But again, that's why we're talking about the generations here, the three generations. That's why it's so important that we are passing on our faith. We're training them when they're young so that they have that foundation. I was just thinking about youth group. Got in a really awesome, intense conversation at youth group with a young man. And he was quoting Bible stories from kids' shows he had seen that his grandma had showed him as we were talking. And I was like, wow. I told him that God has been speaking to you since you were little. And look, it's there.
Yeah.
It was all coming out as we were talking.
Good grandma.
Good grandma, yep.
Good grandma.
But here's the thing, the family, God's primary way of passing down the faith is the family. That's how he intended it. Let's go, we read this before, but I told you, I'm not trying to be repetitive. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll show you this. This is part of the greatest commandment. When they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he quoted this. He didn't say this part about the family, but it is part of it. So, let's see. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. It's always. It's what you're always to be talking about. And you will notice here, notice this in verse 7. I want you to notice two words in verse 7. The word talk, and the word walk. You teach them diligently to your children by your talk and by your walk. Yes?
You mentioned a little while ago, kids will always ask, why?
Yeah.
Well, when you teach them, you need to teach them why.
Yeah.
For an example, at the time I was going to a church that had, you know, their list, things you should and shouldn't do. So I brought it up in Sunday school class. It's like, what should, and they knew the list.
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at them, one girl, teenage girl, she said, we shouldn't hold hands with boys. And I looked at her and I said, why? Hmm. You know, it was like,
yeah.
Don't do it just because this is what
yeah,
you learn in church or from your parents, but they need to know why.
Yeah, there's a reason.
They're not going to just
explain it, that this is for your good. This can lead to this. This can, yeah, absolutely. It's the same with God. It's not that God is, people say, the cosmic killjoy. He's just trying to rob us of all our fun. He's trying to protect us from destroying our life and destroying somebody else's life. That's why the rules are there, to protect us. Now, we're not saved by keeping rules, but if we love God first, we'll want to do the things that please him. And the things that he calls us to do that please him are for our good. They're for our good. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That song's better than only believe. Trust and obey. Children asking why. Joshua, which is the next book. Joshua chapter 4.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did you know what you were going to speak of when you looked up this morning, or is it just coming to
you? Oh, I worked hard on this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I early in the week.
As it comes to it.
He's studying
the whole.
I was studying on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for this lesson. So the answer is, I already had it done. I didn't know you were going to be here. I didn't know. I already had this all written out.
And he knew he was going to come. He knew.
I knew I was going to be here. Okay, so Joshua 4:21. It says, then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? So this is cool. They cross over the Jordan into the promised land, okay? And they took 12 memorial stones out of the Jordan River and brought them over with them and made it into a little altar to remind them of when God parted the Jordan so that they could cross over. That's what he does. And then he says this, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. See, God says your kids are going to ask about this, and you be ready to give them an answer. Pretty cool. Okay, before I go any further, I wrote all this down already. Okay, it's right here. It's right here. Ideally, I say ideally because this isn't always the way it is, but ideally, husbands need to be leading in this area. They need to be able to not only teach their children, but they need to be able to teach their wives. There's scripture about that. I'll read it, only if you promise not to start anything. First Corinthians 14, verse 34 and 35. Let's read it very, very fast. No, I'm not going to read it fast. I'm just kidding. Remember, everything God calls us to do is for our own good. So 14, 34 and 35 says, let your women keep silent in the churches. All right, hold on. Hold on.
I was
going
to say, you're in there. You are so busy.
We're not here. I'm not even done yet.
So you see us all leave.
Enjoy the women's class.
I'll be staying. We can talk about Revelations.
She's leading the charge. Let's go, ladies! Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, listen, it's not that you can't talk.
How dare you talk in church? Shush!
No. It's talking about having authority. You have to use other verses to help explain this. It's about having authority over men in the church. So the Bible teaches that men are to be pastors and deacons, things like that. It's not that you can't talk. You're free to talk. Nobody panic about that.
No.
That's what it's talking about. The point, can I make the point?
Yeah.
Let them ask their husbands. And it's important that husbands are walking with the Lord so that they can teach their family. Because the primary way the faith gets passed on is in the family. And the primary way God would like it to be done is the husband leading the family. Okay? Now, that's ideal. If that can't happen, because sometimes it can't, God still blesses the situation and the mom can do it. I want to show you an example. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This letter that Paul wrote to Timothy is very encouraging. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Because Timothy's mom was a believer, and his dad wasn't. Okay? But we see here, 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, I thank God, Paul says, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. That is beautiful. Grandma, Mom, Timothy. Because as we read last week in Proverbs chapter 3, that God blesses the home of the just. And what if it's a two-parent home, if it's a one-parent home, if you trust in the Lord, God is there in the home. And he'll bless your effort. Absolutely. Say it out loud.
Say it out loud.
Everybody else does. Come on.
When you don't have a man. When you don't have a man, Christ is your husband.
Christ is your husband. Even when you have a man.
Okay.
Either way. No matter if you have a husband or not, he is not your God. So
yes.
Jesus is always your husband.
Yes.
No matter if you have a husband or whether you don't, you never put your husband as your God.
No. The reason the whole book of Judges in the Bible is a disaster is because it says there arose a generation that didn't know the Lord. And that's why you read nasty stuff in the book of Judges, you know, that gives our enemies ammunition to say, look at what the Bible says, but it's not God endorsing it. It's showing what happens when you don't have the Lord and people are doing whatever is right in their own eyes. All right, and just to make sure we're totally balanced here, the husband has a responsibility to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The command for the husband is just as serious as the command for the wife to be submissive. It's not one-sided at all. And you know what? If the husband is leading the way he should, The wife will have no problem submitting to him. She'll be glad to.
It's not like a dictatorship.
It's not a dictatorship. No. Nope.
Being submissive is not bowing to every whim either.
Yep.
It
exactly
is
right.
Having respectful conversation.
Yep.
And discussing things together as two equals.
It's equal. That's the point. Each side has their responsibilities. Can we move on now? Again, like I said before, we got to iron all these things out. Smooth them all out.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. We're just trying to learn what it says. I just want to know what the Bible says. That's all I'm after.
I do believe that a lot of times a marriage, that's part of the problem, is that the woman goes ahead and looks at the man as fulfilling all of her needs, and no way can he do that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He cannot possibly do that. So that's how come she never loses that authority, and that is through Christ.
Yeah. The idea that your spouse will complete you.
That's
a
movie
thing.
Yep,
that's a movie
thing.
That's why we do not hold hands with boys.
Seriously, the Bible has requirements. We're supposed to be evenly yoked. We have to be very, very careful with who we pick and who we decide to walk side by side with in our lives.
But that's a good point. The husband, your husband cannot meet all your needs. And if you have this romance novel idea of what you think your husband is going to be, okay, you better just burn that book in the... Because that's not reality, because the husband can't meet all of your needs. Only Jesus can meet all your needs. Only Jesus can meet all your needs. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Husband or wife, only Jesus can meet all your needs. And you know what? I have heard it said before that a good marriage takes place between two good forgivers.
Ooh, that's
two good forgivers. Because you understand you're both
sinners.
You're both sinners, saved by grace, trying to grow, and you're going to make mistakes. Now, that doesn't give you permission to be abusive or anything like that, but when you're both heading in the right direction, you can make it work and you can be at peace. Okay?
Amen.
All hearts and minds at ease.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Proverbs 4, let's read, we're in 5 through 7, the priority of wisdom. So you know, passing down wisdom, that's how that works. Priority of wisdom. He says, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. All right, so my note say, first of all, notice the warnings here in verse 5 and verse 6. Do not forget and do not forsake wisdom. Wisdom. Listen, if God said it, it was true the first time you heard it, and it's still true now. Don't forget it. Don't let the circumstances change your mind. Don't talk yourself into something else. Don't say, well, maybe God's letting me do it this way for now. No, don't forget wisdom and don't forsake wisdom. God has told you how this works. If it's going to work, you're going to have to do it His way. You have to read your Bible and ask God to teach you. That's the only two ways you get wisdom. The Bible says, ask for it. In James 1:4, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Whenever you don't understand, whenever you need a direction, you ask. And God promises to give you wisdom. And then the other way you learn wisdom is by reading. Taking heed to the word. And trust it. And you'll grow in wisdom. You were commanded to grow as Christians. You were never commanded to say, okay, I believe in Jesus, and then leave it there. You have to grow. Just like if we talk about the marriage. A marriage grows. You grow, you learn, and you grow. You learn to be a better husband. You learn to be a better wife. Yeah, you grow. You learn each other. And you grow. The same idea of walking with Christ. You have to grow. And you also have to grow and not forget or forsake the word so that you're not led astray when someone comes along telling you some stuff that's garbage. Because that happens a lot.
They take the Bible out of context all the time.
All the time. All the time. People say, well, the Bible says this. And unless you look and make sure, then you'll say to somebody, well, I heard the Bible says this. You know, and now you're spreading something that's not true.
And some of these new versions are really twisting.
The Passion Translation is the latest. Yeah.
That's
the Passion Translation, it's not a Bible. Well, now you have, and avoid it. Like
with your life.
The Passion Translation is not a Bible. The New World Translation, I just heard about that recently, is a Jehovah's Witness Bible.
Oh.
They don't believe Jesus is God. The New King James, what we study it, is great. The King James Version is great. The NASB, I think it is. I have a, in my phone, I have a chart I have a chart I could show you. Was it NASB? The one that Andy asked me about? I think it was NASB. But yeah, you gotta. If you can, I can show you the chart, or you can look up a chart. You want to get a Bible that stays on this side of the chart, which is word-for-word translation. When you get away from that and you start getting over to thought-for-thought or idea-for-idea translation,
the message
Bible, what they're doing is they're not just giving you what the Bible says, they're telling you what they think it means. That's not a Bible. That's
you can program us.
Yes, yes.
It always scares me in Sunday school class. When anybody says, I think,
oh yeah, it
doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're not here teaching what I think. We're teaching what the Bible says. Yep. So let me show you. Let me show you the warning. I always give the scripture. Lots and lots of scripture. That's where the power is at anyway. 2 Peter 3:14-18. Let's read this. It'll cover everything we just said. Yeah, we don't teach man's wisdom. We teach the Word of God. My job, I feel, is to share as much scripture as possible and just give the sense of it, help people understand it. That's it. 2 Peter 3:14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul. This is Peter talking about the Apostle Paul. According to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. He's talking about letters that Paul wrote. Isn't that cool? Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which, check this out, even the Apostle Peter says this, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to be growing in your knowledge of Christ through the Bible so that you won't be led astray, so you won't forget, and you won't forsake what you've been taught. So important.
You need to know what the Bible says in order to seek the wisdom and in order to understand what you read. You can't just ask for wisdom and not read.
Yeah, you gotta do both.
God's not just going to reveal his wisdom if you never cracked your Bible.
Correct.
It takes action.
Correct. Yeah. Right. He doesn't just download things into your mind.
Pastor, you said you taught us make it our practice.
Yep.
Make it our practice.
We just read it in Proverbs. He said, get wisdom. And you can't just get it by doing nothing. You got to read the Bible. Don't complicate it. Lord, help me understand. I'm reading. Lord, I pray every time I'm getting ready to read. Lord, please teach me.
Amen.
That's because I need him to teach me. That's it. Pray and I read. And I read it over and over again. Guy at work, he makes jokes about it. He makes jokes about my second job. Because my second job is reading one book. And we laugh. We're friends. We laugh. He's like, I said, this week is really busy. I said, I gotta get out of here, man. And he's like, oh, you gotta go read your one book?
He's there.
I said, yep, I gotta go read my one book. You read it again. Read it again. Keep getting wisdom. Keep refreshing it, renewing your mind, or you will forget it. If you don't use it,
you lose it.
You guys all know this. All right. Here, this will help us. This will help us. In Proverbs 4:5, this will help us. So we're back at Proverbs 4. Now you see in verse 5 and verse 7, you find the word get 4 times and getting 1 time. So 5 times you have this word get, okay? And that word, okay, studying, checking it out, it could also be the word buy, B-U-Y, as in there's a verse that has it. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. So getting or buying, okay, if you use the word buying, buy wisdom, buy instruction, buy understanding, it just simply means this, that there is a cost involved. You have to pay what it costs to get the wisdom, which would be time, effort. Not money, time, effort. There's a cost, and when people pay for things themselves, they usually care about it a lot more, don't they? So if you put forward the effort, you'll appreciate what you get in return. Also notice that in verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Four times we're told that wisdom is personified as a woman. Okay? And that's interesting because foolishness is also personified as a woman in the Bible, in Proverbs. And what happens is, this is going on all day. Okay? Wisdom is always calling out to you, and foolishness is always calling out to you. And that's what's happening throughout the day as you're making decisions, as you go through your day. Wisdom is speaking, foolishness is speaking. And you have to listen and make the right choice. Proverbs chapter 9. We'll read this ahead of time, although we'll be there real soon to study it. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Wisdom is calling out, saying, hey, come here. Dine with me so that you can learn and you can grow. Okay? And then you have another woman over in verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous, which means loud and obnoxious. A foolish woman is loud and obnoxious. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Same message. Foolishness and wisdom calling out to everybody. Come on, come this way. Come this way. Kind of like that angel and devil thing on your shoulder. Come this way. Come this way. But you have to choose God. You have to choose wisdom. Choose to do the wise thing. Your flesh will want you to go the other way. Your flesh will be trying to pull you. And you got to say, you got to make a choice in your heart and say, I'm going to choose wisdom. Okay, last thing. Let's talk about the prize of wisdom. That's the last few verses. But let's just skip right to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. In Proverbs 4, at the end, it mentions a crown of glory. Okay? That crown of glory is a victor's crown. See, back in the day, when they had their Olympic games that they had back in the day, when you would win, you would get a crown of victory. They didn't give you medals like they do now. They would put a thing on your head, usually made of some type of branches or something. But the thing about your crown of branches, that was beautiful the day you got it, what happens to it? It dies, and it crumbles, and it fades away. What we're doing as Christians, okay, is we're looking forward to a crown that will last forever. And that crown is the crown of life. Okay, so he compares the two here in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or moderate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Okay, the same way that an athlete who is competing for a crown, what does he do? He moderates what he eats. He makes sure he spends time exercising. Right? All of those things that he has to do to take care of his body so that he can run the race and win the prize. And God is saying, even more important than that, you know that you are looking for the crown of life that lasts forever. So shouldn't you also moderate yourself? Discipline yourself. Do the things God has called you to do so that you can obtain the prize that lasts forever. The crown of life. And by the way, you know that crown, you're going to get it. As a believer, in heaven you get this crown. But what's cool about it is, the Bible says you get to give that to Jesus as a gift. You're earning a crown to give to him. Because we know, without him we couldn't have earned it. But yeah. Okay, I got to pray and get out of here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's awesome being with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's awesome studying your word. And my prayer is that each of us would just be humble enough to hear what you say and make the corrections. And help us to remember, God, that your will is best for us. And help us to not be sidetracked by the things of this world, but help us to keep our eyes fixed on the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if there's something that hinders us, Lord, help us to discipline ourselves and put it away. Because you're worth it. You're worth it, Lord. So thank you so much. Please continue to bless this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Gotta go.